Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joe, I can't believe we're right here in the throes of July and training camps all over the place this week. What were your emotions like every year at the start of training camp and then preseason?
I really looked forward to it. I was one of the, I guess you could call me one of those crazy guys who really, really loved training camp. Of course, when I started in football, Amy, we had six preseason games. I used to go to camp the 4th of July.
Whoa.
And our conditioning program was really the preseason games. So, you know, we played 14 games and had six preseason games. So that's sort of the way that, you know, I grew up with. And then obviously it evolved. So we went to four preseason games. Season started later. Now the training camps are rather short. You have 24/7, 365 football. And I got excited about training camp. I got excited for the chance to be able to start to play football again. I love the game. As a matter of fact, the one thing I miss more than anything in my life is being able to throw a football. The old arm is shot, but boy, I wish I could throw the ball around again.
It's funny that you say that because I just saw some comments from Drew Brees in which he said, you don't use it and you lose it. And he said his arm feels terrible. He said it's the worst shape his arm's been in his entire career.
Well, you know, he's had a lot. He had rotator surgery on it way back when. I thought he did a terrific job last year just getting through everything. I mean, the injuries that he had, but it seemed like his arm was okay. And that's really the thing that I believe has allowed Tom Brady to continue to do the things that he does. He hasn't lost his fastball. And I don't see Aaron Rodgers losing his into his 40s either. So as long as you can throw the ball and you can get it where your mind tells you it should go and your eyes tell you where it should go, you can continue to play this game.
Ben Roethlisberger, too. The reports are that he is in phenomenal shape and that he's zipping the ball like he hasn't in years.
I think Ben's become rededicated this year. I fully expect him to have a terrific year. I really believe that, you know, last year just got away from him personally. I still have this vivid image of Ben at the end of the season sitting on the bench all by himself, sort of looking up. And I kept thinking, I wonder what he's thinking. Is he thinking, do I want to continue to do this? Or what happened in this particular year? And I had a feeling he would come back. If he was coming back, he was going to be rededicated to getting himself to help the Steelers get someplace in the playoffs.
I didn't even know you all had six preseason games. That's a lot of preseason games. And now they've settled on three as they expand the regular season to the 17 games over 18 weeks. Which one do you like better?
You know, I really liked four, to be honest with you, and I'll tell you why. I think it's very difficult, especially, forget about last year, because you couldn't evaluate anybody.
Right.
You had no OTAs, no mini camps. At least you had some semblance of a mini camp this year. You had OTAs for most camps, and for the life of me, Amy, I couldn't figure out why guys wanted to opt out of an OTA. You're a bunch of kids in big bodies getting paid a lot of money to do something that you did for nothing when you were a child. But that's neither here nor there. I like the four, and the reason why is the starters get a chance to play a little bit in one, a little bit in two, maybe a half in three, and they don't play at all in four. But how can you evaluate free agents, rookies, when you don't see them in game action? So I guess my question is, if you have three preseason games, who's going to play? I mean, you want to give your starters some snaps to get them ready for the regular season. So how much do they play? How much, if you have a quarterback competition on some of your teams, how are you able to evaluate them? Because even your practices in training camp are limited by throws. You just don't spend a lot of time. You have one session, and then you walk around in shorts for a while. You have walkthroughs. So, I mean, that's how the game has become different. Is it better? Is it worse? I don't really know. I think it's probably better for the guys because they train all year round,
right,
to be able to preserve themselves. I've always looked at this, Aime. The first two regular season games to me are glorified preseason games where you can check the conditioning of your athletes. You can check and see how well they execute. All of the things that you need to do, the protocols that you need to do as far as a team goes. Now you put in the protocols of the COVID restrictions. And so it'll be interesting. But, you know, I think three is a little short, but it's not my choice.
We're so excited to spend a few minutes with Joe Theismann, longtime Washington, well, Redskins quarterback, who is a Super Bowl champion and a former MVP. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Have you gotten used to it not being the Redskins and calling the team the Washington Football Team?
Yeah, I have. But I think we all found out about 2 weeks ago that the Washington Football Team is going to have a new name. They are going to have a new logo. And I'm excited about that. I didn't want it to continue to be the Washington Football Team. I don't have any idea what the name would be. I have no earthly idea whatsoever. But I was glad that we're going to have something going forward next year in 2022.
Agreed. As a radio host, I will say repeating Washington Football Team over and over gets very awkward.
Most people refer to it as the Redskins at this point. I mean, you know, we won three world championships as the Washington Redskins. And so, you know, that's a part of history. I believe that will stay. We hope so anyway.
Yeah, definitely is. When you think back on the first season with Ron Rivera, of course, the first season as the Washington Football Team, what will you remember about last year's team?
The incredible ability of the team to adjust to very, very trying circumstances. Coach Rivera fighting through cancer treatments, being the man that he is. You know, Ron Rivera, I think, is a terrific football coach, but he's even a greater man. I mean, the battles that he had to fight personally, all the things that he had to deal with inside the organization. I mean, this football team looks, acts, sounds like a professional football organization. And I'm excited. And Ron has an awful lot to do with where it is. Jason Wright, our new president, is another one. We've got some terrific leadership in management positions. Jack Del Rio is a fabulous coach. Scott Turner is really growing into his own with some players. I thought they did a terrific job under very trying circumstances a year ago. Just getting people on the field. I mean, you know, once again, they went through four quarterbacks last year. And now we've got Fitz, who's been with nine teams. So figure it out. Four quarterbacks in a season or somebody who's been with nine different teams. As a matter of fact, you know, it's funny, Aime. I played with Ryan in the American Century golf tournament out in Lake Tahoe.
Oh, did you?
I laughed a little bit. I said, how many stickers do you have on your suitcases? And he started laughing. He said, you know, I got a few. But, he's excited. The team is excited about him coming here. And really, when you look back at his, you know, time in Miami, particularly last year, he really got taken out of the lineup because they wanted to get Tua in. It wasn't that Fitz wasn't playing well.
Right.
It's just that, management wanted to see what they had in their young rookie. So, you know, we're catching somebody who's been playing pretty good football and now has a chance to be pretty rested and ready to go.
In terms of leadership, his teammates love to play for him. They are willing to go into battle with Ryan Fitzpatrick. That's a hallmark of his locker rooms where he's been. Joe, certainly last year, the story for Washington was Alex Smith. And I just was so thrilled for him, for his family, to be able to watch him to get back out there on the field. And even though it wasn't the quality of football that maybe he was used to pre-injury, I can imagine that his story, his comeback, resonated with you in a different way. So what were your emotions as you watched him return to the field and take over as the starter in Washington?
Amy, I was just like everybody. I was so excited and probably a little bit more. And I've said this time and time again. I know Elizabeth, is his wife, is his biggest fan. I let people know I'm his second biggest fan. You know, we did have a similar injury. As a matter of fact, Dak had a similar injury to us as well.
Right.
But what Alex went through post-injury was extremely difficult. If you watch Project 11 on the 30 for 30,
yes,
you get a real sense of what they had to do to him. See, the Alex Smith story to me is not the story of an athlete. It's the story of someone who just would not allow someone to tell him he could not do something. It's a comeback story. It's a story of resilience. It's a story of discipline. It's a story of hard work. So when people think that there's this terrible monumental thing that's challenging them, I hope they think of Alex Smith and think of the fact that you came within 24 hours of losing your leg. You almost died, and you came back on the field. I was there the night he got hurt, and I was in the stands the day that he walked back on the field against the Los Angeles Rams. And Aaron Donald jumped on his back, and nothing happened. And I breathed a big sigh of relief to know that he was going to be able to continue to play.
How far along did you get in trying to come back and play football after your injury?
It took me 2 years. And, you know, I used to throw when I got into television. I started my first 2 years at CBS. And I used to go to training camps, and the coaches would let me throw defensive drills, and I felt really good. I mean, I was 36, 37 years old. Mm-hmm. But, you know, but the difference was, is in 1985, when you were 35 years old, they couldn't wait to usher you out of the game. Today, if you're 35 years old, you're looking at probably a 3-4 year contract for $20 million. It's just that times have changed that much. And the game has evolved that much. The sure. the guys are playing longer. Evidence of that was Tom and Ben and Aaron, and you know, look at what Drew went, what Drew did. So, I mean, you've got Philip, another one, played, you know, late into their 30s. But I still loved it. It took me 2 years really to get back able to throw the ball around without any pain, and you still didn't move like you did before, but at least you were able to throw the ball around.
Does it still affect you now, or you don't have any residual effects from it?
Oh, I have. Yes, my right leg is shorter. As I continue to shrink, my right leg continues to shrink.
Oh.
But it's affected my knee, my hip, my back. I wear an orthotic in my shoe to try and give my body some symmetry. If I stand for a long time without the orthotic in, my back becomes an issue more than anything. But you know, you just live with it. I mean, you know, I've had 7 broken noses, collarbones, ribs, hands, dislocated elbows, broken legs a couple of times. And you know, it's funny, Amy, people have asked me and said, Joe, with all that you went through, all the injuries that you've had, would you go back and do it again in a heartbeat? In a heartbeat. I would love to be able to go out and have a shot at doing it again, especially at these prices.
Right. I hear that from Boomer Esiason all the time. That's what he tells me. Oh, that only I were a quarterback in 2020 or 2021.
I would take 2018.
We're spending a few minutes with Joe Theismann here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. I actually just saw this a little while ago, and I had not seen this video before, one in which you called the injury a blessing, not a tragedy. Why was it a blessing for you?
I had great success as a professional football player. I mean, I was an MVP of the league, world champion. You'll love this. 1984, I was the 4th highest paid player in the National Football League at $1 million a year.
Wow.
That's how times have changed. But I had really become, I guess, an island unto myself. I'd sort of let my ego run my life. And I didn't really appreciate the things and the people around me like I believed I should have. And, you know, I believe the good Lord entered my life and said, Joe, I've let you do it yourself long enough. It's time for me to slam your feet on the ground and take a look at where you want to go and what you can do. And, Amy, I believe this 100%. We're put on this earth to serve, not to be served.
Yes.
And I had become so full of myself, and I'm not proud of it, but at least I had a chance to recognize it. And so for me, it was a blessing, what happened to me. I think it saved me from who knows where I could have been or where I might have wound up. And every day I try and just be a better person, and every day I try and appreciate all the people around me.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It was good to hear from so many Washington football fans the last season and to know that they are excited about the team moving forward with Ron Rivera. And that's where we pick up our conversation with former Washington Super Bowl champion and MVP Joe Theismann. You do a lot of radio and TV. You're an inspirational speaker and you travel around the country, but I know you consider Washington to be home. What makes the group of fans, the nation's capital, so special and so loyal despite how things have gone the last 15 years or so?
You know, we have not just the last few years. I mean, I think the last 15 years or so, we've made the playoffs twice. I just think that it is a loyal fan base. It's you know, it's one of the more storied franchises. It's one of the older franchises in the NFL. I think the fan base has sort of been passed down generationally. You know, your parents were fans of the Washington football team or the Redskins at that time or the Boston Braves, if you go all the way back. And you just, you grow up that way. And then you get this glimmer of hope. Our defense was outstanding a year ago. So now all of a sudden, people are talking about how good the defense can be, how, you know, the abilities that they have, that they can be the best defense in football. You know, Fitz has joined it with his magic. So you've got a lot of very positive conversation going on about our football team and about our football players. And yes, there have been things that they're dealing with, which I think they're doing an excellent job handling. And our football team is special. You know, it's funny. I watched the last day of training camp, or last day of mini camp this year I was out. I finally got into the building after 17 months or 16 months and had a chance to be at practice. And the one thing that jumped out at me as I watched these guys work was the professionalism that they showed, the way they hustled from drill to drill, the coaching that they took, the way they were coached. Everything about what I saw over a two-hour period just echoed professionalism to me, and it's exciting to see that.
We're talking about early 20-somethings and guys that, and this isn't the case for all athletes, but there are some athletes who don't really pay attention to the eras or the generations before them. Do they all know who you are?
Fortunately, through Google, they can find me. That's the big thing. I mean, you know, I'll introduce myself to sometimes some guys, and they just look at you. And then I just say, do you realize that when I started, I don't quote the time. I say, when I started in the National Football League, I was a punt returner.
No way.
Well, yeah. No, I spent in 74, 75, I returned punts. That was my first quote-unquote job.
Wow.
With the Washington football team. I snuck on the field against the New York Giants and managed to return punts the remainder of 74 and all of 75. So I've started, I guess, from as far away as you could start and was fortunate enough to play on a team that, you know, went to two Super Bowls and won one. What an experience that is, too. Amy, it's so hard to put into words what the Super Bowl win is about. I mean, I've been doing motivational speeches for 40 years, and I get a chance to talk about a championship. I get a chance to talk about being part of a championship. Matter of fact, I wrote a book called How to Be a Champion Every Day, and it's based off the relationship between the world of sports, the world of business, and our own lives. It's more of a business book than anything.
Okay.
With stories sprinkled in, like, you know, I touch upon my record-breaking punt, which was 1 yard. So, you know, I touch on all those highlights of my career.
Okay, so you come out of Notre Dame. You're a quarterback, obviously, but the only way you could hit the field in the first couple years is to return punts?
Well, actually, I went to Canada for 3 years. I played for the Toronto
Argonauts. Oh, that's right, the CFL, yes.
That's the first time I broke my leg, my second year in Canada, but I only broke one bone, came back and played in 6 weeks. But I also returned punts up there. Now, to give you a real quick explanation, in Canadian football, if you kick the ball, either miss a field goal or punt the ball in the end zone, you get 1 point. It's a single or a rouge for the team that kicked it in. So my job was to catch the ball and kick it back out.
Oh, my gosh.
But keep in mind, there was no downfield blocking up there. Everybody had to give you 5 yards to catch the ball, but there was no downfield blocking. So you'd catch it and then quickly punt it. So teaches you to have quick feet and quick hands. And I actually did it in college. My first year at the University of Notre Dame, my first 7 games as a sophomore, I also was the punt returner on that football team. So starting as a punt returner for me turned out to be a very good place to start in different places. I wound up being a starter for three different teams after I'd been a punt returner.
Could you imagine in today's NFL, say, a Peyton Manning who has cinder blocks for feet, or a Tom Brady, or even, let's just say, take one of the mobile quarterbacks, Joe, a Lamar Jackson, or you mentioned Tua, a Tua Tagovailoa, returning punts?
I want to see him catch them. I'd like to see him catch them. You know, Doug Flutie tried it in a preseason game up in New England. And I was just with Doug out at the American Century Investment Tournament, and Doug said, you know, I got to tell you something, you're crazy. So you're just flat nuts returning punts. I said, man, I absolutely love it. I loved everything about football. I still do to this day. If it was a rainy day at practice, I'd be out there sliding around in the mud like just a little kid. I mean, what's not to love about it, you know?
It's funny because I was going to wrap up by asking you, what was your favorite thing about football? But it's clear that it was all of it. You embraced all of it.
I loved everything about it. To this day, we have a high school very close to us in Virginia. And so I go there every now and then. Of course, I get out to the University of Notre Dame and have a chance to watch them play. And I think we'll have a pretty darn good football team where, you know, we're going to have to break through and, you know, beat the Alabamas and the Clemsons. And we open with Florida State, which will be exciting for us. And then, of course, professional football, I guess I look at it differently than a lot of people. I mean, I try and anticipate what they're going to do, and I still study the players. I do the Washington preseason game. We open on the 12th up in New England, and then we get Cincinnati, and then we finish with the Raiders. Those are our 3 games, and I've been fortunate enough to be asked to broadcast them again for like the 9th or 10th year. It feels so good, but we're not out of the woods yet, and I know the NFL is working very hard with their protocols, and I hope the players understand that they can't put themselves at risk. It's no time to relax and feel like this thing is over. You want to be smart. You want to be able to play the game. Because, truthfully, if you go out and you hang out at a club or you do something, it isn't just yourself you're putting in harm's way, but it's the guys that are your teammates. And this to me, is the ultimate definition of being a true teammate, is how do you protect yourself so that everybody else can participate? Now, in that vein, which is interesting, and this is unprecedented, I believe, in football, in this day and age of money grabs, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers will return all 22 starters.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody left that football team. What does that say about Tom Brady? And what does that say about Bruce Arians and the way they run an operation? I mean, to me, it's just, I talk about team all the time in my presentations when I do the speeches, but to me, the Bucs are the ultimate team right now. Everybody wants to stay. They haven't lost a game since the bye last year.
Right.
I don't think they'll lose many this year.
They'll be a formidable foe this year. Joe, I feel like we could talk football for hours. You've been so generous with your time, and I am so pleased that we got the punt return aspect of your career out in the open, because I had no idea. He's a Super Bowl champion, a 1983 MVP, but he got his start, humble beginnings, as a punt returner. Joe, it's so good to talk to you. You're welcome on the show anytime. Thank you so much.
Amy, thanks for having me. Take care of yourself and enjoy the show as much as we enjoy listening to you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it.
I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.